Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker and Ryan Huang. Let's put the spotlight on the future of salaries and why it matters. You see, Singapore has an incredibly strong startup culture. There's a large number of recently launched companies all vying to be the next Google or Facebook. And many young Singaporeans are being increasingly drawn to the attractions that startups offer. The opportunity to work with highly motivated and talented colleagues and the prospect of being part of a founding team of a, you know, successful multi-million dollar company. Just some of the reasons that people choose to pursue this career path. But before joining a startup, one of the most important factors a potential employee needs to consider is compensation, which is commonly structured differently than, say, a mature company. And it's largely dependent on the life stage of the company, which can greatly impact compensation as well as work-life balance, risks, what kind of upside are we looking at. But is a job in a startup all that it's made out to be? Would you be better off joining an established multinational firm, somewhere that offers you a better salary, greater stability? A couple of things to consider this morning. On the line with me is Ravi Nipani, who is Regional Head of Technology and Life Sciences, Asia Pacific and MEA Human Capital Solutions at Aon. Good morning, Ravi. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot. Very good. How are you doing?
Not too bad, sir. And quite an interesting conversation we're going to have. I suppose to set the tone of this conversation, I understand that Aon has recently released their 2021 private market compensation study. It's the first of its kind in Southeast Asia, and I'm curious to know more about it. What can you tell us?
This was the first of its kind, the survey that's been launched, again, with the support of SG Innovate and a few other VCs who came together because there was a lack of a salary benchmark that is available within our region, whereas in the US, there's abundance of data available. So we're very glad to have launched something which a lot of our clients are finding it very useful.
Right. And who was surveyed in this study?
These were predominantly the startups across Southeast Asia with a focus on Singapore.
Okay.
And these are startups right from early stage till fairly mature stage.
Where salaries are concerned or compensation, what did you notice in terms of the Singapore startups? I mean, how do they pay their employees?
It depends on the life cycle. Like you mentioned, Elliot, earlier on, it completely depends on the life cycle. So if it's a smaller startup, they tend to focus on a base salary as the primary vehicle.
Right.
As they start getting their series funding, they start to look at it as performance pay as well as a vehicle to kind of compensate. And as they kind of get another couple of series of funding, they try and bring in equity. And they start to get a little more defined as they're starting to get bigger and bigger.
Okay. And if we were to compare that with MNCs or multinational companies, I suppose with MNCs, it's less complicated or less creative in that sense.
It is, right? Because multinationals have both base pay, bonus, and equity fairly defined, and they don't typically go off the track from there. Whereas in startups, you tend to have that flexibility. Mm. And I guess the biggest advantage that the startups have is the flexibility to use equity the way they deem fit, right? Mm. In a lot of cases, startups might not be able to match up to the base salaries that multinationals pay, but equity is the long pay component.
Right. But is it really fair to say that, if you want to earn well, you should go join an MNC? I mean, at the end of the day, for an employee, it's down to your value system and what you're looking for, right?
Right. No, that's actually not true. And that was actually one of the myths that got busted out of this survey. From the Aon's latest startup survey, what came out was that startups in Singapore, on an average, are paying about 6% higher than the general industry for individual contributors. Whereas at managerial level, the story kind of changes a little, where the general industry pays about 5% higher than the startups. But it doesn't always hold true.
Right. But long term, I mean, it can be quite an interesting situation long term, right, where you join a startup, the cash-based incentive is lower, but like you mentioned earlier on the equity compensation, I mean, could you expand a little bit more on how this could benefit me as an employee, you know, with the whole equity compensation?
Sure, absolutely. So if you typically look at all the success stories that we've heard out of the Silicon Valley, the millionaires and the billionaires, those are typically based on equity, mm-hmm. right? It's not based on cash components so much. And that's where the Silicon Valley attracts the best talents towards startups. And that's a norm that we are seeing that's changing in Singapore,
right.
because traditionally the founders have held on to equity and ownership, and that's kind of changing with COVID times as well, because cash is becoming critical for companies to hold on to, and a lot of founders are now willing to give away equity to their employees.
Right. So I'm gathering that the benchmark that we need to look at is the Silicon Valley ones.
I mean, it wouldn't be a bad benchmark, because Silicon Valley has been an ecosystem for startups which has done very, very well, and Singapore's on the rise. So I would say that would be a good benchmark to refer to.
I understand if you don't have specifics for this next question, but maybe some kind of baseline percentage comparison. I mean, how far are we away from reaching that U.S. benchmark?
So if I just use, let's say, equity as one of the vehicles for comparison, right?
Sure.
Almost 100% of the startups in the Valley give equity to all their employees. Whereas in Singapore, only 90% of the startups provide to managerial and above. But if I dig a little deeper, only 6% of the companies in Singapore, which have less than 25 million invested capital, have even equity put in place. So that's the kind of gap that we're talking about. And if I talk about the cash, Singapore obviously has a cost arbitrage where Singapore's salaries are about 32% lower than the US at the individual level. And at a managerial level, it's about 12% lower.
Mm-hmm. I know we talked about equity and obviously the money, the cold hard cash side of things. But if I'm a Singapore startup right now, what do you think I can do to make a more compelling case, to build a more compelling, how should I put it, like a salary package in that sense to try and get the best people on board with my company?
Right. And that's a very interesting question, Elliot, because the answer kind of differs from organization to organization. But I guess a good starting point would be for startups to kind of define what their reward philosophy is going to be, meaning what percentage of the pay do they want to be based on outcomes and achievements, and what percentage would it be fixed pay. You know, in our part of the world, culturally, we are more inclined towards a more fixed pay rather than a risk pay. So I guess when a company is able to define that very clearly, you will be able to get people who kind of see the vision of the organization and the philosophy, and then come on board.
Because most of the time, that's why people want to join a startup, right? But
absolutely.
I want to try and debunk a myth, and given the COVID situation that we're in, maybe this might work. A lot of people join startups for the potential of work-life balance. Come on, does that really exist? I mean, you're part of a startup, you're working to help build this company because you believe in the company. How can work-life balance possibly be something attractive? It takes a lot of work.
That's right, Elliot. I wouldn't say a startup is a great place to go for work-life balance, because a lot of times the organizations are still trying to get up to speed, right? So there's absolute chaos and there's no clearly defined roles. You're just expected to play multiple roles because you're on a survival mode.
Yeah.
As against a multinational where things are a lot more defined, you just do your particular job and you can go home. So I guess if you're looking for work-life balance, then I guess startups is not a great place to start.
I have friends who work in startups and I ask them, so what's your role in your company? And they usually say, just everything.
Yeah. On a lighter note, a lot of founders say, don't measure us by the number of years of experience for an employee, but measure us by the number of dog years of experience.
Oh, dear.
You know? Because they just get so much more experience for a shorter period of time.
Yeah, that's so true. Actually, you come out more valuable employee. Ravi, if I am an individual and I want to join a startup, can you help me out? I mean, what should I look at when, and it's a bit of a two-part question here. First of all, what should I look at in terms of, what should I pay attention to when it comes down to salary negotiation?
I guess, again, that's a very, very subjective answer, you know, because it depends a lot on people's personal situations. But I guess a good starting point would be to understand the organization's compensation philosophy.
Okay.
What does their fixed pay look like? What does the bonus look like? How is the bonus being calculated? How will they pay out? What's the frequency of those payouts? And is equity a component to be considered? And if yes, then how are they going to be giving that out? How is that calculated? And an important aspect, because people's needs also kind of evolve over a period of time, is with increase in funding, is the organization open to revising the pay scales as well? So I guess that would be a good starting point.
I'm glad you brought that up, because it somewhat ties into my second part of the conversation. How do I approach that negotiation if, let's say, base salary is not going to be so high? How do I approach the equity side of the conversation? Or even, like, can we do yearly revision of salary negotiation? I know it's quite tiring on a startup's HR, which could even be an outsourced one. Who knows? But how do I approach that conversation?
I guess it's. I've always found it to be the best way is to be honest and upfront and say, if you're already working with a large organization, to kind of put your total comp on the table and say, this is what I make. How will the startup kind of compensate me for it? Of course, it can't match apple to apple, but a long-term vision on equity would be helpful if they're very serious about the growth and so on. And I guess a lot of times organizations have clear visions on how they want to use equity and how they will pay out. Typically, organizations tend to take care of equity on two buckets. One is when a new joinee comes on board, they give equity as part of it. And then on an annual basis, they've got something called as the refresher programs, where they kind of keep giving equity based on where the organization is, how the performance of the organization and the individual is.
Quite a lot of learning points this morning. Thank you so much for taking the time. Ravi Nipani, who is Regional Head of Technology and Life Sciences, APEC and MEA, Human Capital Solutions at Aon. Ravi, appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you so much, Elliot, for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.